The Housing Finance and Policy Committee will come to order, and I will note this meeting is taking place under House Rule 10.01. Ms. Hirsch, please take the roll.
Chair Houseman?
Present.
Houseman, present. Vice Chair Howard? Vice Chair Howard?
Present.
Howard, present. Representative Tice?
Tice, present.
Tice, present. Representative Egbadje?
Present.
Egbadje, present. Representative Bliss? Representative Gomez?
Gomez, present.
Gomez, present. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, present.
Hassan, present. Representative Heinrich?
Heinrich, present.
Heinrich, present. Representative Herr?
Present.
Herr, present. Representative Juergens?
Juergens, present.
Juergens, present. Representative Olson?
Present.
Olson, present. Representative Farr?
Farr, present.
Farr, present. And Representative Ryer?
Ryer, present.
Ryer, present. And Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. The next item of business is approval of the minutes from Thursday, March 24. Representative Howard, have you had a chance to review those minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair. So moved.
Members, any corrections? Seeing none, please unmute yourselves for a voice vote. All those in favor of approval of the minutes signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. The first bill on the agenda is House File 4448, chief authored by Representative Noor. The chair moves that House File 4448 be laid over. Representative Noor, welcome to the committee. Please proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Over 2 years ago, there was a fire in my district that in a high-rise building. Five people died, four people were injured. One of the injured individuals died later on in his home. Madam Chair and members, firefighters were also injured in this situation. We came together, we passed legislation that helped address the need for sprinklers in high-rise buildings, and we were able to pass a legislation that required public housing to install sprinklers, and appreciative of all the members and everyone for their support on that. However, we left out a significant number of high-rise buildings, particularly those that are owned and managed by nonprofit organizations. We support the public housing through the GO bonds, but the nonprofits who are excluded from this process may not be able to tap into that resources. So House File 4448 creates a grant program administered by Minnesota Housing Finance for grants to install sprinklers for eligible buildings. And Madam Chair and members, this is a small request that will help a lot of folks. As I go through my district, from my window, I can see some high-rise buildings in Seward neighborhood, 25 floors. And every time I go through that place, I think about what can we do to make sure that those individuals who are in those high-rise buildings live in a safe place. We've seen the horrific images that we've seen, not only in our state, but outside in other states. So it's time for us to provide a small grant program and encourage those who are left out from our requirement to be able to install sprinklers. With that, Madam Chair, I do have two testifiers who will help explain some of this process. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Noor. First, we have Tom Brace, who's Regional Manager, National Fire Sprinkler Association, the Minnesota chapter. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Brace. Please identify yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, he was having a little difficulty. I would suggest we start with
With the other testifier. Okay, we'll go to David Ybarra, President of the Minnesota Pipe Trades. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Houseman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is David Ybarra. I am President of the Minnesota Pipe Trades Association. We are an umbrella organization representing 11 local unions and more than 9,000 craft professionals working in the plumbing, pipe fitting, and fire protection industries throughout the state of Minnesota. I'm here today to offer my union support of House File 4448. I'm grateful to Representative Knorr for his steadfast leadership regarding this important public safety issue. I want to also thank Chair Hausman for scheduling this hearing and to other representatives who have supported fire sprinkler systems in high-rise structures in the past. Again, I'd like to thank Representative Knorr, who authored House File 109, the original bill from 2001 that began phase one of all of this. As I mentioned, efforts to address this glaring fire safety problem began last year, the culmination of a years-long effort to respond to the tragic November 2019 high-rise fire in Minneapolis that killed multiple people. Recall what the state fire marshal noted in his investigative report after the fire. It is the state fire marshal division's position that all high-rise buildings should be protected with fire sprinkler systems. Had this building been protected with fire sprinklers, it is the opinion of the state fire marshal division that no loss of life would have occurred. This bill represents the next step in that quest to protect all high-rise buildings. Regardless of where a person lives or their economic circumstances, they deserve proactive protection from these highly dangerous, very deadly fires. The same holds true for first responders who are tasked to respond. Firefighters will tell you that high-rise fires are one of the most dangerous scenarios they face in a very dangerous line of work. We've been proud to partner with firefighting professionals to assist legislators in crafting, debating, and passing legislation to install fire sprinkler systems in high-rise buildings. Chair Hausman and committee members, I respectfully urge you to support this legislation today and would request that you include it in your omnibus bill or another vehicle that will get this across the finish line. Thank you for your time and for allowing my testimony today.
I have to go off this.
Do we have Mr. Brace?
You have Mr. Brace on a phone. I apologize.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, my name is Tom Brace. I'm the state coordinator for the National Fire Sprinkler Association, and pleased to be here this morning. I apologize for my Zoom issue here with my computer. I am the former Washington State Fire Marshal for 10 years and the Minnesota State Fire Marshal for 16 years. I've been a sprinkler advocate, and I believe that the bill that you have before you this morning is a wonderful opportunity to explore and recognize the life-saving abilities of fire sprinklers. It affects three people in these high-rise buildings. One, of course, the people that live there, many who have issues with mobility, health issues, and so forth that complicate evacuation. The people that work there, that staff it, and also a third group that we must not forget would be our fire service people, our men and women who have to fight a fire in a high-rise building, which is recognized as one of the most difficult fires to fight, being that you have to carry, in most cases, all of the equipment up a number of floors, like the Cedar Riverside fire on the 14th floor, a tremendous job just to get the material up there and then resupplied. This is not a mandate. This bill is, we believe, will encourage the installation in nonprofits. There is a fund of $5 million that has a maximum per individual of $250,000. So it may not completely do the project, but it might be just that amount that brings the project into fruition that they can afford to do it. So you have before you in your packet a number of letters of support from various fire organizations, the Minneapolis Fire Department, the Minnesota State Fire Chiefs, the Fire Marshals Association of Minnesota, the Metro Fire Chiefs. There is a genuine fire service support for this, and certainly understandable. We really appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning, and may I once again apologize for the Zoom difficulty that I was having. I would stand ready.
We're happy we had your voice. Thank you to our two testifiers this morning.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Members, are there questions for our testifiers or the bill author? I don't see any. Representative Noor, I just wanted to make one observation. You indicated, we know, of course, that geobonding can only be used for public infrastructure, and so public housing qualifies for that, but nonprofits do not. And the point of your bill then is to have another funding source for nonprofits who don't qualify for geobonding. I did hear from public housing this morning that there's some issue, if they are excluded from this bill, that a complication with geobonding that public housing has, but this bill's being laid over and they said they're in touch with you, so that might be a conversation we can continue to have just to clarify that particular issue. I see no hands raised. So thank you, Representative Noor. House File 4448 is laid over for possible inclusion. The next bill on the agenda is House File 4508. The chair moves that House File 4508 be laid over. Representative Howard. Before you begin your presentation, you do have an author's amendment. Would you like to move the A1 amendment before presenting your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move that amendment.
Representative Howard moves the A1 amendment. Would you briefly explain that amendment?
Thanks, Madam Chair. This is a bill that deals with corporate ownership of homes, and this amendment creates an exception for a corporation like 3M that may purchase a home so that their employees can reside there. We don't want them to be included and caught up in the bill. So that's what the amendment seeks to address.
Any questions, members, of that amendment? In all those in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Please proceed with your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to thank Senator Carrie Dietzick, who has done the lion's share of the heavy lifting in putting this bill together and is the author in the Senate. It's a bill that addresses a significant concern, one that we've talked about in this committee, and generally, a goal of this committee has been to make sure that the American dream of home ownership is more accessible to Minnesotans, and that's what this bill is about. We know that we have a nation's worst housing crisis. We know that we have some of the worst equity gaps in the nation in terms of home ownership. And if you're trying to buy a home, especially a starter home, I think folks know it's hard. You know that the competition is going to be incredibly fierce. There's likely to be several offers, and you might we've heard stories of 10, 11, 12 times before somebody can secure their home, only after bidding way over asking price. Even worse, Minnesotans are coming to find out, you know, they're not just bidding against a neighbor down the street. They're bidding against a Wall Street investment firm who's coming with an all-cash offer. And how can you compete with that? Part of the American dream is owning your own home, and that is becoming out of reach for many. Housing costs are going up. And when investors come in to buy houses with cash, average Minnesotans can't compete. Wall Street sees the profit in this. So more and more investor funds are coming in to purchase homes, turn them into rental, demand high rents, and they get a good return on investment. It might be good for Wall Street, but it isn't for Minnesotans. This is a national trend. Last year, investors bought nearly 1 in 7 homes sold in America's top metropolitan areas. That is the most in at least 2 decades, according to the realty company Redfin. And a deeply reported story in the Star Tribune last year showed how pronounced this problem is here. We have some metro neighborhoods and entire suburban communities where upwards of 25% of single family homes are owned by a corporation. And as corporate firms exploit the market for their financial gain, we all suffer. We see higher prices on homes throughout the market, greater competition at point of sale, and out-of-state landlords take less care of their properties. We've seen this play out in significant fashion with Havenbrook, a New York-based hedge fund that owns more than 600 homes in Minnesota. Our attorney general is currently suing Havenbrook for neglect of their properties, including lack of heat, backed up sewer systems, and mold. Not only that, Havenbrook violated our eviction moratorium which raises another issue. Statistics show that these corporate landlords are more likely to evict tenants than mom and pops because it serves their business model. Members, corporations are stealing the American dream from Minnesotans, and it's time we do something about it. And that's what this bill seeks to address. House Bill 4313 prohibits a corporation from purchasing and renting a single-family home. We modeled this bill after the Family Farm Act, a law that passed in 1971 to encourage and protect the family farm, as a basic economic unit. And I want to read the purpose statement that this bill is drafted off of, which models that Family Farm Act. And it is that the legislature finds that it's in the interest of the state to encourage and protect home ownership and the single family home as a basic housing option to allow families increased access to housing through home ownership, for families to build equity and wealth through their housing, and to enhance and promote the stability and well-being of families and societies in Minnesota. That's what this bill seeks to do. As with the farm law, this bill contains several exceptions which allow families and small groups of owners to own homes and business entities and trusts. In this manner, we ensure that families that form LLCs or trust to, you know, own the home that grandma lives in are able to do so. There are other exemptions in this bill as well, so that we make sure we're going after the core bad actors, the corporate hedge funds and behemoths who are distorting the market and flipping these properties into rental for corporate profits at the expense of everyone else. We believe Minnesotans who are seeking the American dream of home ownership should come first before corporate profiteers, and that's why we hope to move this bill forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Howard. we have a testifier, Paul Ager, the Senior Vice President of the Minnesota Realtors. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Paul Ager, Senior Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the Minnesota Realtors Association. And again, we're a business trade association with a membership of over 21,000 real estate professionals working with both buyers and sellers of all types of property in every corner of the state. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today and to share some of our thoughts and some concerns with Representative Howard's House File 4508. We support getting more Minnesotans into home ownership. That is not just what our members do for a career. It really is their passion. And realtors are out there representing their buyer clients every day as they try to navigate the current market and find a home. And for buyers in this current market, as Representative Howard stated in his introduction to the bill, finding a home is really challenging right now, and it's frustrating because of the severe lack of homes available to purchase, which is something I've addressed in this committee a few times this session, and I'll get back to that in a minute. But we also support the private real estate market and think putting government in a position to determine who should be allowed to purchase properties and how those properties may be used, as House File 4508 does, is a concern. We urge caution as you consider House File 4508 because markets can change. While the current market is characterized as a dramatic lack of housing inventory, just 10 years ago, we were trying to emerge from the housing crash and a foreclosure crisis. In fact, in February of 2012, the Federal Housing Finance Agency announced a pilot program for investors interested in buying Fannie Mae foreclosed properties for use as rentals. The FHFA's acting director, Edward DeMarco, was quoted in a press release saying, quote, "This is another important milestone in our initiative designed to reduce taxpayer losses, stabilize neighborhoods and home values, and shift to more private management of properties and reduce the supply of real estate-owned properties in the marketplace." A Reuters article from July 3rd of 2012 states that the FHFA, quote, "wants to use the program to shrink the excess supply of repossessed homes weighing on the market." Think about that for a second. 10 years ago, the problem was excess supply of repossessed homes weighing on the market. From 2009 to 2012 in Minnesota, around a third of all sales each year were lender mediated, meaning foreclosures or short sales. In 2021, with a dramatically different market, the number was less than 1%. My point in sharing this historical reference point is not to argue whether FHFA was right or wrong in 2012 to introduce that program, but to illustrate that market conditions can change and what may make sense as a market intervention today may turn out to be an obstacle to innovation tomorrow. We also have some thoughts and some questions on provisions in the bill. There are definitions of family LLC and family trust, and we're not sure how those definitions will be applied. If someone established an LLC to purchase property, is there something they need to do to make it a family LLC, or if they meet the definition in the bill, is that all that matters? Who decides that? Is it the Attorney General through enforcement action, or is there some other mechanism? Is there a specific type of investor this legislation is trying to prohibit, either by size or some other characteristic? And if so, what? And I think Representative Howard was referencing corporate investors, Wall Street investors. I did take a look at some data using the Minneapolis Fed's property data tool on investor ownership of the Twin Cities, of Twin Cities residential rental properties, which actually uses non-homestead status as a proxy. So I think it's maybe a little bit broader than investors, but I did a search of investors with 50 or more properties, and they account for 0.5% of properties owned in the Twin Cities. And if you take it down to 10 properties, those investors account for 1.3% in the Twin Cities. I guess that's a question, is are those the investors that are targeted by this bill, or is it some other metric? Something important to keep in mind also is that data is only for the metro area, and House File 4508 would be applicable statewide. Again, keeping in mind the markets can change, what about sellers at some point in the future who would benefit by having more potential buyers in the market? Situations arise for individuals and families, whether it's divorce, loss of job transfer to another part of the state or country, where a timely sale and an immediate closing is critical. We'd also urge caution in assuming that any investor purchased property would simply have been purchased by an owner-occupant. Some investors purchase properties that are in rough shape, certainly non-turnkey properties, and fix them up and in turn make them nice places to live. And then just back to the current market for a second, we do have a severe shortage of housing, with only 6,606 homes for sale statewide in February, representing a reduction over 21% compared to 2021. For the years 2017 to 2020, the average number of homes for sale at the end of the year was about 14,500. And even that number represents a lack of adequate supply to meet the growing demand for housing. The best way to minimize the role of investors in the market is to increase the supply of housing. And for that, I'd like to thank Representative Howard for co-authoring Representative Elkins House File 3256, which represents an attempt to lower some of the regulatory barriers to developing more housing. We are in a sustained period of low housing supply, and focusing on investors will not solve that challenging problem. Thank you again, Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Members, are there questions for the testifier or the bill author? Representative Juergens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Howard, thanks for bringing this bill forward. I talked to a friend of mine last summer. He actually reached out to me. He works in mortgage lending, and he brought to my attention what he thought is a problem. And I agree that throughout the state of Minnesota, you have corporations coming in and buying up housing stock. He said some of these corporations have, you know, thousands of homes throughout the state of Minnesota, turning them into rental properties. So I agree that this is a problem. I also agree with the comments from Mr. Eager that there's a lot of issues with this bill. Many people, as an insurance agent, some of my customers that own rental properties might own 2, 3, 4 properties, and they do that under an LLC. They don't do it as a sole proprietor or under their own personal name. And so I agree with the goal, Representative Howard, what the problem that you're trying to address. And I wish I had a better answer of what the solution is. I don't think this is it, but I appreciate you bringing it forward. And I do also have a question of, we're laying this bill over. Has it been to judiciary and civil law? Is it intended to go that direction? Or I'm kind of curious as to why we're laying it over at this point.
Representative Howard, do you have a bill track or any comment about Senate action?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Juergens. First, thank you for highlighting the issue that's facing us, and it is a real one. And I know we heard some statistics from the previous testifier, but and I will get to answer your question, but I did want to respond too while it's on the top of my mind. The reality is, according to the Star Tribune, we have entire neighborhoods that have just the Northeast downtown neighborhood is 30% owned by corporations, single family rentals. In Fridley, Minnesota, 27.1% of single family owns are owned or investor owned. Hopkins, 25%. And the list goes on. And so I think the statistics shared previously were misleading. This is a significant challenge, and especially in the metro area. And if there, we did include some exemptions to get at that issue you're talking about, Representative Juergens. We do want to target this to address kind of the larger players that are distorting the market versus somebody that might own a handful of homes and fix them up. You know, that can be a positive way to increase, you know, quality housing supply. And so if there's further work we can do on the bill, I'm definitely amenable to do that. And it feels like an issue that we should be able to work on a bipartisan basis. To the bill path, I would kind of defer to the chair on bill path. I'm comfortable having this heard in other committees as well. I do think that the legislation, the language, Senator Dietzick and others spent a lot of time to make sure we vetted this and got this right. And so I do kind of wish we would have started the process earlier, just kind of the nature of the language coming together during the session.
And Representative Juergens, that was the primary problem. We've known ever since the beginning of session she was working on this, but we just, obviously it's a complicated issue and we just didn't get it to our committee earlier. And that's the dilemma about timing. Follow up, Representative Juergens.
So Representative Howard, you mentioned other committees. Has it already been to Judiciary then? Or what other committees has this bill been to?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, sorry if I misspoke. It has not been to other committees. This is the first committee stop.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anything further, Representative Juergens?
No, just more clarification maybe from Representative Howard. So the individuals that I mentioned that might own, you know, a handful of rental properties as an LLC, this bill would still apply to them. They would be considered an exception and have to ask for an exception if they wanted to maintain their LLC. And if are they grandfathered in?
Representative Howard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Juergens, first, this doesn't apply so retroactively in the sense that folks would have to, you know, disinvest in all their properties, one, to the second part of your question. And two, we have a definition in the bill with an exemption. And I would just have to, the intent is to exempt those folks from this bill if they have a handful of properties. If we need to further tighten that up, I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Okay. Representative Juergens,
that's it. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Howard.
Representative Tice.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I have a couple concerns with the bill, and you've heard a little bit about it already. My husband and I have an LLC, and right now we have 5 single-family homes. At one time, we had as many as 13. And well, the reason we purchased them was twofold, really. We had a building and remodeling company, and when the Great Recession hit, we had no work. And we had a lot of homes that were foreclosed and needed a lot of work. In fact, one of them, we completely gutted the whole thing. Seriously, the whole thing. And redid it and got it back on the market and sold it to a very nice family. We're down to 5 out of 13 now. And it makes me concerned what this could mean for someone like me. Because of the 5, we've had some of those folks in since we purchased the property. And they have issues qualifying for loans, this, that, and another thing. And they've basically said, we're going to be here probably till we are gone from the planet, just because of their circumstances, and it works out well for them. I'm afraid of what we might do. And I know this is St. Cloud, and I think most of the problems that we're seeing are probably geared more in the metro area. Not necessarily, but probably most of it. So I'm kind of afraid what some of the language will do. And I'm not really sure that I understand how we as an LLC fit in there as well. Another thing is, you know, in previous markets, it was people were evicted and we got some properties ready to go. And but now the cost is so prohibited to so many folks that I'm afraid that I'm not really sure what the consequences are, how much it is, you know, what it's all going to be. And I know that some cities have already taken care of the fact that somebody has to be living in the area in order to manage the apartments and houses so that we have folks. And then I think of Mayor Fabian again, who I really feel his pain when he talks about their housing situation up there. And Polaris right now rents 100 hotel rooms a week, which cuts into their tourism dollars because now they don't have that open. And I know Polaris has done some other things in the community to try to get housing for folks. And I'm kind of worried about what that might mean for them going forward if we basically say nobody can do this. I'm not exactly sure 100% what Polaris has been doing, but I know that they've been doing a lot to try to get the housing up there. So I think it would be good to see it go to civil law. I am concerned about the language. I'm concerned about what it does for some of the properties. Housing prices are so crazy right now. Our house, for sure, when I look at, you know, some of the measures, has doubled. And it's just it's not a big house. It's a smaller house. But the house across the street from us, Greg watched, I think it was like one day and it sold. And it sold for a lot. And it's a split entry home. It should be a level, it should be a starter home, entry level home. And it was crazy, crazy, crazy. I mean, you're talking close to 300 grand in St. Cloud. Our markets are a little bit different. And that kind of scares me that we're going to get rid of some housing that folks really need. And for whatever reason, especially rebounding from the pandemic and what that meant for a lot of people with the shutdowns we had, they just aren't going to qualify for loans to buy these. So if we're going to put them on the market saying that corporations can't do it, I know there's a fine line, but I'm also afraid of what that could mean. And I think some of the cities are seeing, you know, by requiring that you have a management person close by, I think at some points we see about 60 miles. Maybe that takes care of it. Maybe that's something we look at. And I understand that. But I think a lot of people just aren't available to purchase right now because of rates are creeping up a little bit. But also, my husband and I talk many times about it's just crazy how much housing is right now and who can afford it, especially after we're rebounding from COVID and shutting down. So those are my concerns, and I just wanted to throw them out there. But thanks for the work. I think there's parts of this that really make sense, but I'm still skeptical about what it could mean for the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other hands raised, and Representative Howard, I'm sure you'd like to comment on that, but you perhaps also have some other closing comments. So Representative Howard.
Madam Chair, and thanks, Representative. Thanks, Representative Tice. I agree with a lot of what you said, especially that the prices of housing is crazy, and what I would say is the kind of corporate speculation that's happening in home ownership is driving up the price of housing for Minnesotans, and it's reducing the supply of affordable homes for home ownership for Minnesotans. And this is admittedly one piece of the puzzle. We also need to be doing things to expand the supply of housing, but we need to look at the full picture. And there's no question that this is distorting the market and it's having negative outcomes for Minnesotans. I do think there's a place for the kind of rehab and work that you've done in your community in St. Cloud. And I would love to further the conversation if there's ways to make sure that this bill needs to be tightened up and tailored to make sure that there aren't those negative impacts. But hopefully we can agree that it's not a great outcome for a Wall Street hedge fund to own hundreds and hundreds of homes and being an outbid first-time home buyers over and over again with cash offers. It's distorting the market, and we should look at this problem and seek solutions to address it. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. House File 4508, as amended, is laid over. Members, as is typical this time of the year, this is when we start parking vehicles in various places to have some flexibility. as the process moves forward, to have a plan B occasionally. And this morning we have two housekeeping items as we finish our normal committee work for the year. We're going to make procedural motions on two bills. They've been previously heard this year to advance them to Ways and Means. We're not taking any public testimony on the bills, but we are certainly happy to answer any questions from members. Representative Agbaje, would you like to move House File 3287 and briefly remind members of the bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the bill to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And I can go ahead with my brief explanation if you would like.
Please.
So this bill, House File 3287, we heard a couple of weeks ago, it's the one to create a grant program to support housing court mediators around the state. So it allocates $425,000 in grant funding to certified mediation services. In addition to providing support to tenants and landlords, the bill aims to ensure access to culturally specific resolution programs, which is useful for seniors, people of color, and people with disabilities. So the bill also aims to reduce the need for court actions and court and costs due to conflicts in the housing space. So thank you for your support.
Thank you, Representative Badge. Any discussion members? I don't see any hands raised. Ms. Hirsch, please take the roll.
Chair Houseman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Howard?
Aye.
Representative Tice?
Aye.
Representative Agbaje?
Aye.
Representative Bliss?
Aye.
Representative Gomez? Representative Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Heinrich?
No.
Representative Herb?
Aye.
Representative Juergens?
Juergens, aye.
Representative Olson? Representative Barr?
Barr, no.
And Representative Ryer?
Ryer, aye.
Madam Chair, we have 9 ayes and 2 nays.
There being 9 ayes and 2 nays, the motion prevails and the bill is passed. The next bill on the agenda is my bill, House File 3244, which authorizes housing infrastructure bonds and geo bonds for public housing, and was heard on Tuesday, February 22nd. This is a Homes for All agenda item. The chair moves that House File 3244 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And I also move the A3 amendment that removes Section 4, which authorizes the GEO bonds, making this a simple housing infrastructure bonds authorization bill. Obviously, the GEO bonds would continue to be in the bonding bill. Any questions, members, about this referral? I see no hands up. All those in favor of the A3 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Members, as I stated before, this is a procedural motion to get a vehicle bill in place. So unless there are any questions, we will move on to the roll call on passage of 3244 to Ways and Means. I see no hands up. Ms. Hirsch, please take the roll.
Chair Houseman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Howard?
Aye.
Representative Tice?
Aye.
Representative Agbaje?
Aye.
Representative Bliss?
Aye.
Representative Gomez?
Gomez, aye.
Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Representative Heinrich? Representative Hurt?
Aye.
Representative Juergens?
Juergens, aye.
Representative Olson? Representative Barr?
Barr, no.
And Representative Ryer?
Ryer, aye.
Madam Chair, we have 10 ayes and one nay.
There being 10 ayes and one nay, the motion prevails and the bill as amended is passed to Ways and Means. Members, our upcoming committee work is going to be focused on our housing omnibus bill. On Tuesday, April 5, we will have a walkthrough of the omnibus BE amendment and take public testimony. And then on Wednesday, April 6, not our standing time on Thursday. So not normally, next week it won't be Tuesday, Thursday, it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday. We will consider any amendments and vote on final passage. Our goal is to have the DE amendment ready for posting by Friday this week. We certainly have our work cut out for us, so we'll work hard. And I have to say, nonpartisan staff are miracle workers. Are there any questions about the schedule? Hands up there for Representative Farr.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, I missed Wednesday. What time were you thinking?
It'll be at the Representative Farr. It will be at 10:30, I believe, Mr. Worth, right? 10:30, our usual time, but on a different day.
Madam Chair, that is correct. 10:30.
10:30 to 12. So usual time, but different day.
Perfect. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Other questions about the schedule? I don't see any others. Thank you, members, so much for your good work in this committee. It's just I appreciate very much our conversation at every meeting. With no other business before the committee, we are adjourned.